You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Victory Monday to you. The Buffalo Bills defeated the Jets on Sunday 45-17 and improved to 6-3. It was their ninth consecutive win over an AFC East opponent, one shy of the team record, and suddenly everything feels right in the world again. Looking forward to talking about this football game for you here today. We'll start with the things I liked. We'll get to some things I didn't like. It wasn't a perfect game. I got some stuff to talk about. And then we'll recap my predictions, talk about the AFC East and what's next for the Buffalo Bills and this podcast. So let's get started. And thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. Things I liked. So many worthy places to start, but I want to begin with the offense, and in particular, the offensive line. They played a lot better this week compared to what we saw last week against Jacksonville. And the success of the offensive line allowed the offense to operate. Spencer Brown being back is a big deal. This dude is a stud football player. I cannot wait to continue watching his career because the sky is the limit. We see the impact that he has when he's on the field, and he's got unbelievable physical traits, and he's playing at a really high level really soon in his NFL career when all the indications based on him being a small school player that didn't play football in 2020, played tight end and eight-man football in high school. He's just come along so nicely, and you can feel his impact when he's in the football game. And he's a stud at right tackle, but when he's in the lineup, it allows Darrell Williams to play right guard, and suddenly the line gets better in two spots. This past week, I was asked a lot about how the Bills' offensive line can get better. And I said, realistically, it's Spencer Brown getting back and improving the right tackle situation while also simultaneously improving the right guard situation. And I think you saw that on Sunday against the Jets. The Bills' offense had 489 total yards, 5.8 yards per rush, 11.7 yards per pass, 26 first downs, 4 of 7 on third down. They scored a touchdown on 6 of their 7 trips to the red zone. That was all made possible by good offensive line play. So let's give credit where it's due. They played terrific. Well, maybe you're thinking to yourself, Joe, they gave up a couple of sacks. Let's talk about those sacks. The first one, that was on Josh Allen. It was a delayed blitzer that's not accounted for in the protection. Josh Allen has to see it and get the ball out. The other was the play where Deion Dawkins came out of the game. Tommy Doyle is in at left tackle. He allows pressure off the edge. They get some interior pressure on a stunt. Josh has nowhere to go on a 3rd-and-11 play that was literally a straight-up drop-back pass. I think the offensive line was terrific on Sunday. Let's move on to Josh Allen. Josh Allen did Josh Allen things. He played great. He was confident. He made throws to all levels of the field, and he was straight up dealing. 21 for 28, 366 yards, 2 passing touchdowns. He did have the 1 interception, but overall a passer rating of 125.6. Don't look now, but Josh Allen has a 100-plus passer rating in 6 of his last 7 games. And I thought this offense overall did a really good job of getting back to some of their basics, right? The stuff that made them such a good offense last year. Heavy dose of Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis getting some chances down the field. Isaiah McKenzie had a role in the offense, and he made an impact. And so I thought it was a good idea for the Bills to get back to some of those key ingredients from last year that made them such a good offense, that haven't been as much of an emphasis so far in 2021. I mentioned Stephon Diggs, 8 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. I figured he was going to have a big game. I predicted 100 yards from Diggs, and he delivered more than that. does a good job of getting back to that bread and butter. 13 targets for Diggs. Nobody else had more than three. And you heard Sean McDermott talk about this in the postgame. You heard Josh Allen talk about this in the postgame, where it was about getting the ball to Stephon Diggs and that being the focal point and the vehicle, the engine for this Bills offense. And the two were dynamic on Sunday. Big throws down the field, big throws in the short areas of the field where Diggs was able to uncover quickly. The Allen to Diggs connection was on full display. I mentioned Gabriel Davis, three catches, 105 yards. His ball skills showed up down the field with some impressive catches. And that was encouraging to see. What we got from Gabriel Davis on Sunday is exactly the type of role that he thrives in for this offense. An option down the field with good ball skills for Josh Allen. He's not a do-everything type player. He's not a dynamic route runner. He's not going to win after the catch. But if you get him one-on-one down the field, it's never really a bad idea to throw it to him. And you saw Josh Allen able to connect with Davis down the field for some big-time plays. Isaiah McKenzie had a catch for 12 yards, two rushes for 17 yards, and he also had the 26-yard punt return. He was a factor in this game. His involvement in the offense was very, very encouraging. Obviously, he only had three touches on offense, but his presence in the lineup kind of changes the way defenses look at the Bills. Because he improves the horizontal spacing with the jet motions and things that he can do with the ball in his hands, in addition to just running routes, Isaiah McKenzie had a role, and I think the offense benefited from that. Emmanuel Sanders was a factor in this game. 24-yard rush. He had two catches for 27 yards, and he had two explosive plays down the field that got called back due to holding penalties. So Sanders didn't necessarily have a monster game, but still over 50 yards of offense and a couple of plays down the field that were really impressive that got called back due to holding penalties. We saw Dawson Knox return and have a 17-yard catch. So the passing game was really clicking, and I think that's because of the emphasis to get the ball to Diggs and then spreading the football around to multiple different weapons and really putting a lot of stress on the defense. Again, this is all made possible because of good offensive line play. Speaking of good offensive line play, that allowed the run game to get going on Sunday. How about that Bills rushing attack? 24 rushes, 139 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. The team averaged over 6 yards per carry when you take out the two Davis Webb kneel downs at the end of the game. Real quick on Davis Webb before we get back to that rushing attack. You guys have probably heard this statistic, but of the 22 quarterbacks drafted in the first three rounds between 2017 through 2020, Webb was the only remaining quarterback that hadn't taken a snap in an NFL regular season game. Well, my guy got on the field. Yeah, it took Mitch Trubisky having COVID and the Bills having a massive lead against the Jets late in the fourth quarter, but my guy got on the field, and good for him. You could cross his name off the list. Now, officially, every quarterback drafted in the first three rounds between 2017 and 2020 has played at least one snap in an NFL regular season game. All right, now back to the running backs and the rushing attack. The Bills did a very effective job of getting three running backs going. And I think we can all agree that that needs to be the norm moving forward. Devin Singletary, 7 rushes, 43 yards, and a touchdown. He added a catch for 6 yards. Zach Moss, 7 rushes, 27 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Breida, 3 rushes for 28 yards, including a touchdown, and then he caught 3 passes for 22 yards and added another touchdown through the air. And so the Bills showed the script and the formula to get all three of these guys going, and I think it matters because they all bring something a little bit different to the table. And because of that, it allows the Bills to stress defenses differently based on who's on the field. I do want to say something else about Matt Breida. Not only did he have a good day catching the football and running the football, but one of the questions about him is, can he help on special teams? And I don't know that I can answer that question right now because you got to watch the tape and really understand what he was asked to do and how he did. But on that opening kickoff, Matt Breida was the one that forced the holding call, and the Jets' opening drive, the opening drive of the game, started at their own 10-yard line because of it. And I thought that was a very positive play for the Bills made possible by Matt Breida. So overall, the Bills' running backs combined for 21 touches, 126 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Now, I know that's not going to be the case every week. I mean, that would be insane if that was the production every week. But it's really important that the Bills showed that they can do it and that they can lean on different running backs to do different things. And Breida played at a level today or on Sunday that is really going to kind of force the issue when it comes to having him on the field on a weekly basis, getting a chance to touch the football 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And so it'll be interesting to see how the inactive report looks moving forward, because surely we can all agree that Breida did enough today to warrant more opportunities in the future. All right, so I think we covered the offense. I mean, literally everything was good. The O-line, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers. It was a great day for the Bills' offense. It was also a great day for the Bills' defense. Now, the Jets had a little bit of garbage time production, but to start the game, and this goes first, second, and third quarter, these are the results of the Jets' offensive possessions. Punt, interception, punt, punt, field goal, fumble, interception, interception, interception. The score of this game was 38-3 entering the fourth quarter. The Bills didn't have Tremaine Edmonds. They didn't have Star Lotulelei. But the defense was still exceptional. And obviously disappointing to learn just before the game that Star is on the COVID list. And so hopefully he recovers quickly and can come back soon. But you're without Star, you're without Tremaine, and you were still dominant on defense. Yeah, it's the Jets, right? But we talked about this. The Jets' offense has been humming. Last week against the Colts, the Jets scored 30 points with 486 total yards. The week before that, against the Bengals, 34 points and 511 yards. So you can thumb your nose that the Bills' defense dominated the Jets, but the Jets' offense was dominant the last 2 weeks. So let's talk about some of the individual performances for the Bills' defense. All 5 starting defensive backs forced a turnover, which is crazy fun. You had Jordan Poyer, Trey White, Taron Johnson, and Levi Wallace all securing interceptions, and then Micah Hyde with the forced fumble and fumble recovery just before the end of the first half. How fun's that? All 5 of these starting DBs created a takeaway, and they were all really good plays. I know that probably the easiest one was Taron Johnson kind of gifted that interception, but that ball hung up in the air for a while, and he remained focused and secured the takeaway. I thought Trey White's interception was exceptional. If I'm not mistaken, he was the deep third defender. He understood the strength of the formation. He understood where the eligibles were. And sometimes just playing defensive back is as simple as eliminating possibilities by formation, by alignment, by combinations. And the way that he anticipated that over route coming, that was a heck of a play. It wasn't even a bad decision by Mike White. Most corners are going to not anticipate that over route and make a play in the ball, but Trey White is a smart, smart, smart football player in coverage. So I love that all 5 of those starting defensive backs were able to secure a takeaway. How about A.J. Klein? How about A.J. Klein filling in for Tremaine Edmonds? He played great. And what a turnaround this guy has had. I mean, his first few games with the Bills were a disaster. He settled in, and he's continuously answered the call for the Buffalo Bills. Made plays all over the field on Sunday. 7 tackles, 6 were solo, 2 tackles for loss, and a pass breakup. A.J. Klein did a great job filling in and easing the loss of Tremaine Edmonds on Sunday. How about F.A. Obada? This dude played a ton on the inside. I love watching him play. He plays hard. He gets off the football with urgency. He's got powerful hands. He's got good length. And he made plays. He had a sack, a pass breakup, a tackle for loss, and a quarterback hurry, playing mostly 3 technique. He had some reps at the 1. I thought he played great. Love watching him play. I mean, the defense was lights out. The defensive line rotation shined all game long. The linebackers were all over the place. The defensive backs made game-changing plays on the ball, and it was dominant defense. Here's a number that I love. The Jets had 20 incomplete passes, 20. 10 were pass breakups by the Bills' defense, and 4 were interceptions. So the Bills forced 14 of those 20 incompletions. So great day for the offense, great day for the defense. And there were a few bright spots on special teams. As usual, Tyler Bass had a perfect day, connected on a 29-yard field goal, and was 6 of 6 on his extra points. He's so pure kicking the football. Have you guys noticed this? Just so pure. Such easy contact, controls the football, and puts it right through. You could tell he's really settling in as an NFL kicker, and he's a guy that I have a lot of confidence in. It was a complete team win. In a lot of ways, it was high-level complementary football, and you know that's the Bills' goal. Complementary football, and they delivered on Sunday. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, believe it or not, I got some things I didn't like from this football game. Let's start with 2 bad fumbles. 1 from Matt Breida, 1 from Devin Singletary. Neither should have happened. It was a situation of not being deliberate enough about protecting the football. And it's been an issue for both of those players their entire careers. Singletary's coughed the ball up quite a few times. So has Breida. So obviously I don't like fumbles ever, especially when the other team really didn't have to do much to get the ball on the ground. I could have done without Josh Allen's interception. I know it was the only blemish for him on the day, but you never want to see your quarterback throw an interception. Matt Hawk stinks at punting. I mean, he's just not a good punter. And I know he's a great holder, and I recognize the value that he brings being consistent with holding for Tyler Bass, and I'm sure the consistency that Bass has developed has a lot to do with how good of a holder Matt Hawk is, and you see Mason Crosby continue to miss field goals in Green Bay with Corey Bojorquez as his holder, but I'm not satisfied with Matt Hawk, the punter. He's just not good enough. He's just not good enough. Both of his punts on Sunday were bad. And I really don't think he's had that many good moments at all as a punter. And I don't think you have to accept bad punting to get good holding. You can get a punter that can hold and punt. And I don't think that the Bills are actively looking to replace him. But this guy's career has been nothing but inconsistent punting the football. And so I hope that the Bills are deliberate about finding an upgrade at punter in the offseason and allowing them to get on the same page with Tyler Bass so that the Bills can have a good punter that is also a good holder. You can do it. It can be done. Plenty of punters do it. And the Bills don't have to just accept bad punting because they like Matt Hawk, the holder. I want to talk about a couple of bad sequences for the Bills offense that are noteworthy to me and things I didn't like. So on the third possession of the game, the Bills took over at the Jets' 40-yard line after a 26-yard Isaiah McKenzie punt return. First down, Devin Singletary fumbles, right? That was a fumble where there was a lot of space in front of Devin Singletary. It should have been a significantly longer gain. The blocking was great, but he only gains 3 yards because he unnecessarily fumbled. So second and seven, it's a 6-yard completion to Devin Singletary where I don't have any idea how he didn't get the first down. It was unfathomable to me based on where the defenders were that he didn't pick up the first down. So all of a sudden you're in a third and one when you should have had a first down probably on the previous two plays. But it's third and one, and it's a great play call by Brian Daboll. Josh Allen keeps it, rolls out to the right, 17-yard rush, and it's negated due to holding on Deion Dawkins, which I think was a bad call. He also got hurt on the play. He has to come out for a play. Tommy Doyle comes in. It's third and 11. Josh Allen gets sacked for an 8-yard loss. And then the Bills punted. The Bills punted on a drive where they started on the plus 40-yard line, and they got it to a third and one. And they had three different opportunities to convert a first down. So I never like taking possession of the ball at the plus 40 and punting. Now, the decision to punt was the right one, but it's a disappointing result to having such great field position. I also didn't like the back-to-back turnovers. You had the Josh Allen interception to end the third quarter. The Jets take possession of the ball at the Bills 35. They score a touchdown. The next possession, the Bills get the ball back. Matt Breida fumbles. And I also don't like that the Jets scored a touchdown in both of their red zone opportunities. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You got to try one of these amazing bars for yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low carb, low sugar, low calorie, low fat, and high in protein, so all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. And another great thing about Built Bars, they have so many mouth-watering flavors, including coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. And in fact, this month, Built is coming out with a new limited time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So make sure you check out their website often so you don't miss out. And I got a deal for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Folks, there are so many great sports on TV literally every day. The NHL and NBA seasons are in full swing. You've got the NFL, college football going on, and BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the sports betting action this season. Head to their new updated website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline is where the game starts. Let's take a look at my predictions and how I did this time around. I had 4 predictions for the game on Sunday, and the first one was that Stephon Diggs would have 100 receiving yards, and yes, he sure did. 162 receiving yards for Diggs. My thought process there was it was time for the offense to go back to their bread and butter, which is Josh Allen throwing the football a ton to Stephon Diggs. They did that. They cashed in and had a ton of production, and the Bills' offense was outstanding. Number two, I predicted over 4.2 yards per carry for the Bills' running backs, and they did that for sure. 17 rushes, 98 yards for the Bills' running backs. an average of 5.8 yards per carry. My third prediction was a miss. I said that the Bills will hold the Jets under their season averages for points, yards, and first downs. Well, their season average for points is 18, and the Bills held them to 17 points, so we got that one. The season average for yards for the Jets was 329. They got 366, and I would say that a lot of that came in the fourth quarter when the Bills very clearly were in control of the game. And I also said that they would hold them under their average for first downs. Their average amount of first downs is 19, and they got 22. So I missed on that one, but I think we can all agree that the Bills' defense was exceptional on Sunday. I predicted the Bills would win, and they did just that. So I go 3-for-4 this time around when it comes to my predictions. As for the AFC East roundup, the Bills are in first place at 6-3. The Patriots, they're right behind them at 6-4. They beat Cleveland on Sunday 45-17. So the Patriots are really finding their stride and playing some good football. The Miami Dolphins are in third place. They are now 3-7 after their big win on Thursday Night Football, 22-10 over the Baltimore Ravens, a game that I was in attendance for, and I look forward to sharing some of my experiences with you later this week on Tailgate Talk. And then in last place, the Jets, they're 2-7 after their loss to the Buffalo Bills. Next up for the Bills is a home game against the Indianapolis Colts, and the Colts are playing some good football right now. They're 5-5. And that includes winning 4 of their last 5 games. And they have a really dynamic rushing attack with a good offensive line and Jonathan Taylor. And so it'll be a good test for the Bills on Sunday. And we'll get you ready for it all this week on the podcast. Tomorrow is Herd Mentality. Wednesday, our comprehensive primer on the Indianapolis Colts. Thursday, our crossover discussion with Locked On Colts. Friday is Leftover Thoughts. Banged Up Bills will get us ready from the injury perspective. We'll give you my predictions as well as NFL draft prospects to watch on Saturday. And then Tailgate Talk returns this week on Saturday. So 5 more episodes coming your way this week before the Bills take on the Colts. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. It's been a while since I got a review. Kind of in a slump there. So if you are feeling the urge to do so or would like to help the podcast, would love a 5-star rating and a brief review. All right, folks, that's it for today. Happy Victory Monday to you. Enjoy it, and I'll catch up with you again tomorrow.